Have you ever heard the phrase, can't you see the writing on the wall? Has anyone ever looked at your life and said, can't you see the writing on the wall? It usually means that you're clueless about something that is evidently clear to others looking in. I always ask people, are you looking through your glasses or at your glasses? Well, you're looking through your glasses and we're looking at your glasses so we can see you in a way that you cannot see yourself. You're looking through your life. We're looking at your life. So we can always see things about others and often say, can't you see the writing on the wall? But you know where that phrase came from? The writing on the wall is Daniel chapter 5. And I want to read just a portion of God's word today, and I want to encourage everybody here under the sound of my voice. Because you have been faithful where God has put you, He's going to make sure that you are the one positioned to be able to read the writing on the wall when He writes a new thing. Because you've been faithful in what has been given to you. And if you're not faithful with a dime, you won't be faithful with a dollar. And if you're not faithful on the A, you won't be faithful at B. But you know, I just have to encourage you today. I felt the Lord saying, because you've been faithful where you've been, I'm going to bring you into environments where only you can read and properly interpret the circumstances around the lives of others. Let me just read from Daniel chapter 5. It's a little bit of a lengthy text, but I want you to just let this saturate you. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. That's a big crowd. There's 1,000 people at this restaurant. You imagine taking the bill for that at Denny's. Who had the tuna? You know, someone break a window on the way in here? There's 1,000 of Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the king of Babylon, the most powerful man in the world. He's got 1,000 just of his nobles. And Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and concubines might drink therein. Whew. Bring those vessels from the temple of Jerusalem. We're just going to add them to our orgy here. There's no God seeing anything. How many people do you run into say, there's no God seeing anything? Everything just goes on as it has since the fathers fell asleep. Loved one, let me tell you something. This is a season where people are going to get their comeuppance. And that's not just all negative. Sometimes it is. For some people, it's going to be sowing and weeping in the next 6 months. For others, it's going to be sowing and reaping. But we're living in a time of twin realities where we need to celebrate. We need to first understand what's going on. So I want to give you another biblical snapshot that'll help you. Belshazzar is sitting with his 1,000 lords, king of the world, and he says, oh, by the way, my father conquered Jerusalem. You bring all those golden vessels. Fill them up with wine. Verse 4, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. Oh, this party, this banquet's going the wrong way. In the same hour that they did this, came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote against one another. That happened to me the other day when I went to the doctor. Isn't that just a perfect King James? The joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. That's your Bible verse for this week. Put that on the fridge. That's Daniel 5:6, in case you want to know. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. That may be your life right now, verse 8. You don't understand the writing yet. You don't understand the meaning yet, but just hold on. Here's all the all the golden boys, the spiritual, all the new age folk came in. Then said King Belshazzar, greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in the kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, like the king said, that he made him the master of the magicians, astrologers, and Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation of the writing. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men and the astrologers have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, you shall be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold around your neck, and shall be third in the kingdom. Listen to what Daniel says. I know it's a long text, but I'll get a lot out of this today. I'm going to take my time. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all peoples and nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he slew, he would slay. Whom he kept alive, he would keep alive. Who he set up and who he would put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from the kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling places was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth whomsoever he will. And thou, his son Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this was the writing. And this is the writing. It said, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and they put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation that he would be third in the kingdom. And look at verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Mede took over. Loved one, can you read the writing on the wall? You say, well, what? There's some banquets you have not been invited to. I'm talking to a room of people that Daniel wasn't invited to this banquet. There are 1,000 people. This was the hippest place to be in the empire. Did you know there are some banquets I know that you have not been invited to? And sometimes you felt left out because you see other people achieve things that you have never had. And your righteousness may go unrecognized. And everybody's at the party, and everybody seems to have everything that you don't. But you know, you don't need to be everywhere. You just need to be the somewhere God has called you to be, faithfully in your 6 square feet, being responsible, blooming where you're planted, because loved one, let me tell you, others may, you may not. You know, there's just a golden rule there. You don't need to judge anybody else, but others may, you may not. Mama used to say that. Well, everybody's going over to Connie's house, and then we're going to stay over. Well, others may, you may not. Not have to make a judgment over anybody. You just simply say, you know what? There are some festivals and banquets you have not been invited to in life thus far because others may, you may not. And I know it's isolating. And sometimes it feels like you're left out. And sometimes it feels like life has passed you by. And sometimes it looks exactly like by the age you are and the time it is and what, you know, you're just hopeless because you haven't been invited. You've missed a lot. But you know what, loved one? You're not going to miss anything. Missing the banquets like this. Because this king represents the works of the enemy that have been assaulting your life. And his time is over. His season of rule is over. Darkness is receding. It looked like there was a successful feast going on here. Probably a few million dollars worth of feast. The context seemed invincible. Belshazzar has 1,000 people. He's not alone by himself at night. He has every trapping of power. And there are people you look at and you're jealous of. And you just go, Lord, they've got everything. Well, you know what? You don't have anything if you don't have a love for God and his hand of favor on your life. You don't have anything unless you have him. So there are a lot of festivals and things you haven't been invited to before and you've been excluded from. And sometimes you just feel like the neglected child. You know, it's just like, okay, I'm the redheaded stepchild, I guess. I'm just going to miss everything, you know. And then you hear other people's testimonies, you know. I prayed and the Lord gave me a golden Rolex. And a person came up to me and said, you know, and I hear those testimonies, but my foot starts tapping after a while. We all instinctively hear a good report and the first thing we have to shake off is, where's my Rolex? You know, you got to shake it off, though. It's that little devil on your shoulder. You got to slap it right away and rejoice with them that rejoice and don't get all about your watch. My watch is $2 from Walmart. You know, it's stop it. I know you weren't invited to that banquet. I know you weren't one of the 1,000 lords, but you also weren't one of the idiots drinking wine out of the holy vessels of the temple at Jerusalem. You know what? Daniel says to Belshazzar, the enemy, he says, look, it's not that you didn't know what was right. Your daddy did what was wrong and was dealt with and returned to the Lord. Why didn't you follow his example? Why did you, fully knowing the power of God, bring the holy things of God and to try to desecrate them? You know, this guy, and we know historically, Belshazzar fell this night. The Persians knew of this feast. They diverted the Euphrates River and they came in. And when it looked like all the devil's folk were doing better than they'd ever done, by the end of the evening, they were all going to be dead. Did you know the works of the enemy that have been set against your life look invincible? It looks like 1,000 lords with gold and jewels and everything. But I'll tell you what, in one night, God can bring to naught a lifetime of works of hell that have been set against you. In one night time, one day, it can all look perfect for the enemy's work, and the next day he's completely deposed and absolutely his joints are let loose and his knees are smiting against one another. That's what the enemy's doing right now. And Daniel wasn't judging them. You don't need to judge everyone at that feast with Belshazzar. Daniel was minding his own beeswax, as we get from John chapter 21, verses 18 through 20. Do you know, sometimes you just have to mind your own business and stay faithful where you are. And I have to do that mentally all the time. It's not my business. It's not my business. You know, just when you think you're sanctified. I was walking this morning. I came in. I'm going to church. And there was a little old lady. And she went to one of the gentlemen in the hallway that was cleaning and said, could you open my room? And he said, ma'am, I can't open your room. They won't let me do that. And she goes, stupid man. And I was standing there. I said, did she just say what I thought? You see, right then, all the Holy Ghost prayer all last night fled from me like a flock of birds. And there was a scarecrow of flesh left. Now, I didn't say to her what I was going to say, but I did say to him what I was going to say to her if I saw her again. But you know how you have to just mind your own business? And just a fool like that walks into your purview. And she was a fool. God bless her. I prayed for her. But she's a fool. You say that in parts of town 20 minutes drive from here, you'll be shot in the head. You know what I'm saying? But do you know the feeling of sometimes you see injustice and loved one? Everyone at that party with Belshazzar, don't worry, they were going to get their comeuppance. Don't worry about it. Daniel wasn't judging them. You don't need to judge the people that you're not allowed to associate with right now. It's just others may, you may not. God may just not let you have that car or that house or that relationship or those friends or something. But don't count it some kind of a loss. Be encouraged. But you know, in John chapter 20, it's just a story where Jesus says to Peter, you know, when you're older, they're going to take you where you don't want to go. And Jesus projects a horrible end to Peter. And Peter's like the big shot here. And he goes, what are you talking about? He goes, well, when you're old, not young, they're going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. We know he was crucified upside down on Vatican Hill. So that was not a good prophecy. And Peter turned to John and said, well, what about this man? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, it's not your business. If I will that he live forever until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I don't care what feast you haven't been invited to. You don't need to sweat it. Stay where God's put you. Be faithful. Bloom where you're planted. Get the most out of the season in your life that he's got you in right now with faithfulness, loved one. He is not unjust to forget your labors of love. And you're not going to miss anything drinking wine from a holy cup when God's about to wipe that room out. You know, it's almost like don't align yourself with things that are going to be destroyed. It's like finding out they're going to destroy a building, you know, Homeland Security, and you go move in. And what are you going to run? Well, I know about that, but, you know, I'm running. It won't hit me. You know, don't align with things that God is bringing a scythe down to root out and prune. If he's going to strike someone with lightning, don't go just cuddle up with them. So you're not missing anything by not being invited to all the things you've been looking at and lusting at and covetous about, and I don't understand, and if God loved me, I'd... You know what? You would have united yourself with something else that was going down. It's like rushing to get the last ticket on the Titanic. Oh, praise God! You know... Oh, I made it. Now, we need to look very elegant at dinner so that they'll think that we're from the upper class. You're going down with everybody. I was in a plane and they had the big first class where they have robots serving you double beds and all this. And my thought was, if this plane goes down, they're going down with me. I don't care what mint they just had and put their little sleeping, put their little window down. You're going. That's what I'm thinking. I said, no, that was nasty. I'd like to have that bed too. But you know what I'm saying? You get so cocky sometimes. Like someone used the bathroom from second class. It's like, oh, remember the smoking section in the planes was that little curtain? That really blocks it, doesn't it? But I was thinking, we even have arrogance on a plane, you know? Oh, my God. It's all right. I'll get to where I'm going. Daniel was faithful to God where he was. He didn't judge. Wasn't his business. Wasn't his business. Pray for everybody. Pray for everybody. Ask forgiveness for what you just said and thought, then pray for him. Father, I live this fool before you. That's what I prayed this morning. So anyway, back right in the spirit. There I am, back in the spirit. John 16, verse 8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You are not the Holy Ghost. You cannot make anyone see their sin. You cannot make another human being see their need for righteousness. You cannot convince another person there is a judgment coming. That's the Holy Ghost job, and no one died and left you Holy Ghost. Isn't that a relief? Oh, you don't have to win the... See, I was raised with a lot of apologetics, so I thought that I had to give evidence and convince somebody. Did you know I can only, and you can only present an argument, they have to decide to believe. You cannot give an argument and convince. Convincing has to do with their will before God. A fool convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. Don't spend 3 hours getting your face all red trying to prove God exists when all they're hearing is Jesus. C.S. Lewis. See, we've wanted to join banquets just secretly. I mean, we want to belong to certain behaviors and certain things. And it's not that God's withhold. He doesn't like us. It's that sometimes he has to wipe that party out in order to make a room for Daniel's party, your party. Listen to this. Daniel stayed where he belonged until he was sent for. You don't need to promote yourself. I mean, be responsible in life, but you know what I'm saying? Get everything out of the season you can get while you're where you are. I just feel the Lord saying, get everything out of winter when it's winter. Get everything out of spring when it's spring. Learn everything. Glean every taste, every bit of your experience, and let God help you savor all that He's doing in this season. Because when you're content with a grateful heart now and here, then is when you are summoned to read things that no one else can understand. Now, let me take you back to the story. They're having a great time, and a hand comes out. Now, that would freak me out. All these movies. You know, the kids are watching the paranormal movies. They're watching all this stuff, you know, to see demons, you know, flipping people over and spitting out green pea soup. You know, I deal with the real ones. I don't want to watch a depiction. I mean, I've had the little skinny girl go, you know, and throw free grown men across the room. That'll sober you up. One of my mentors was a dear man named Dr. Walter Martin, and he told me that he had been with a liberal clergyman, you know, a very liberal Methodist, doesn't believe in God, the Bible, anything else. And they were in a motel room doing a deliverance on a young girl. There were four pastors praying. This was a little girl that was demonically oppressed, to put it mildly, who's thrown men as heavy as me around the room. You know, the Catholics always look for, you know, before we do an exorcism, do they know things they shouldn't know? Yes. Do they speak with a voice other than their own? Yes. Do they exhibit supernatural strength? Bingo, 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 right? And I've seen that. I could tell you stories, but we magnify God. We don't give the devil attention he doesn't deserve, right? Amen. But, you know, Dr. Martin told me, he said, Craig, I thought it would be educational to bring this liberal clergyman into the motel room where this was going on. So they're driving in the car, and they're going to the motel where this little Reagan is getting her deliverance and her head spinning around, right? And they walked in the motel room, and it was 20 degrees colder than what they just walked out of on a sunny day, about 90. And you see your own breath, just like in The Exorcist, you know what I'm saying? And this little girl looks over and tells his name. He said by the time that man left the motel, his whole worldview had changed. His whole God picture had been exalted to another level. Oh. And he went in an unbeliever, and he came out, you know, barely clothed and in his right mind. Did you know? God can change your view in a minute just like that. You know what, though? You don't need to see all that kind of stuff in that side of life. But, loved one, I'm telling you right now, you belong where God has placed you. When He wants to call you and bring you out, He will bring you out, and you will then be able to interpret and see and understand things nobody else can. They're in a room, 1,000 of them, looking at mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. You say, what does that mean? It's a strange combination of words. But Daniel, because he was faithful to God where he had been placed, and he had gleaned every bit of wisdom during the season he was in, was therefore able to step into that banquet hall and see what no one else could see effortlessly, interpret everything immediately. And the king says, what does it mean? The world's hungry. I think people are spiritually desperate. I think people are hungry for heaven. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, hungry for heaven. Just call it right. We have legitimate needs. We may meet in illegitimate ways occasionally, but they are legitimate needs. But if you notice, when we don't walk with God, we'll call in astrologers, palm readers, everybody. Read my chakras. Your fourth chakra was blown 2 weeks ago when you ate that papaya. Okay. The Belshazzar had all those folk around. You know what I mean? And they were sensing the energy fields and this and that. But you know what? They couldn't read and understand the writing that was on the wall. It takes God's Spirit anointing you as you come out of the season of your life where you've been to bring you. He'll bring you into a fresh place where nobody else can see what the situation means. You're going to have that wisdom because of what you've endured faithfully. You're going to be able to see with redeemed eyes and hear with redeemed ears what no one else can understand. And it's going to be effortless to you. Daniel walks in and says, King, keep your money. Give it to your buddies. They're not going to last long. What it means is, mene, mene, you have been weighed in the balances. Tekel, you've been found wanting. Now, upharsin, I'm going to perez. I'm going to take that kingdom away from you right now, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. Now, this wasn't a warning of judgment. This was the pronouncement of judgment. Belshazzar is like going, and he died that night. Loved one, God's going to bring up the sudden work against the enemies that have been assaulting you, and he's going to tell them, peace be still. Do you remember when Jesus was in the boat and the wind and the waves were roaring? It says he stood in the midst and said, peace be still. He said to the elements, shut up. And the wind, shut up. And the waters, shut up. And there was an immediate calm, and immediately they were at the other side. Loved one, he's about to get in your boat, the boat of your life, the boat of this ministry, the boat of our church. And he's about to suddenly dethrone a lot of powers that have seemed to be invincible. And we will find ourselves, however, after our suffering, realizing, I can see things nobody else can see now. Effortlessly, I can read the inscription on the wall. They call me and go ahead, have your astrologers test that one out. See, they didn't know. They didn't know. Isn't it funny that all they saw was the fingers of the hand and a message? And right now you say, Craig, that's my life. I just see somewhat of a palm and fingers writing something I can't understand. Well, when you're in between that place of seeing the writing and interpreting it, just be faithful where God's put you. Just trust him. When you can't trace him, trust him. Just say, all right, I'm not invited to every banquet, but I'm going to stay where I am. I don't have to judge them. I'm going to mind my own business. But when you come out, loved one, you're going to have skills and gifts and savvy. You know what they said of Daniel? They said, man, you have a reputation. You can know dreams. You can dissolve hard riddles. You can. I'm looking at a bunch of wise folks. See, I've watched you through your suffering, and I've watched you through your acceptance of life, and I've watched you through what's been denied, and I've watched you. I know your personal stories, and I'm so proud and honored to have anything to do with you because you are so wise. You don't even realize it. See, we're looking at your life. You're looking through your life. You don't see it. You're so wise. You're so loving. You're so giving. You're such servants of the Lord. God bless you. But you know what? Pretty soon others are going to see what God has invested in you. He didn't put what he's put in you for you to be locked away in a cave forever and not influencing others. He's going to bring you forward in a new way. But it's not going to be your talent, gift, or ability where you're intruding yourself. Stay in your season. They called for Daniel. They said, bring that guy in with the rep. This guy is amazing. And it was God Almighty that gave the ability to read and interpret the writing on the wall. Some of you now, you got writing on the wall you don't understand. Just be patient. Be patient. When you come out of where you've been, you're going to freely read. You're going to say, oh, that's many, many, tekel, upharsin. You've been weighed and the balance is found, wanting your kingdom's gone. That's a word not against the blessed, but that's a word against the wicked. Come on, it's time for sowing and weeping. It's time for people that have been sabotaging everybody's lives, sowing chaos everywhere, trying to subvert the work of God. They're going to sow and weep, and we're going to sow and reap. Those of you that have been holding your tongue no matter what, you've been just sort of reconciling your life to just you and God, and if you never get invited to the banquets of the world, you're okay. You're going to bloom where you're planted. You figure that all out, God's going to bring you out with a new ability to see. If God's prophets would stay where he has placed them, then when they came out, they would be able to read clearly the handwriting on the wall. Where other people's lives are in chaos, you're going to read the right word and sentence to set them free because you've survived. You know, I've run into a lot of young people that are passionate for God, and I think it's amazing. But you know, it isn't amazing for me to realize the road they have ahead of them. Whew. I have to just lay back sometime and go, God, help them, Lord. They're just coming in the tunnel, but I'm coming out. I'm just coming out. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I've just been walking around in my funny outfit, you know, with my blood work done and everything. I'm just walking, but I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. I may be stumbling a bit, but I'm coming out of the tunnel. Amen. They're just going in. You know, I'll pray for you, baby. Oh, my God. You know, sometimes you just look weighted down with your years of wisdom, dripping with your insights and gifts, and you just see someone jumping in a hole it took you 20 years to get out of, and they all know better. You know, you better not run down in that. I know what I know what I know. It's like, okay, let me help you down in there. Bye. I'll be here when you're, you know. Did you just feel that way once? I don't say don't do that, but God is about to bring a stern and sudden judgment on the enemy. Belshazzar, in one night, it's gone. Whack. It's over with. And Daniel was untouched by the chaos. And you're going to be untouched, but don't look at the economy. Look at the talking about someone politics yesterday. You know what? God is above all this mess. You don't need to judge. Like Daniel, don't judge. You don't judge Clinton, Obama, Bush, anybody. Mind your own business. Live a holy life and be patient where you are, because he's going to call you out soon, because you're going to be the only one that can interpret the writing on the wall in your ex's life, in your family's life, in your best friend's life. And you're going to have a grace on you and a gratitude. Wasn't that easy? All Daniel had to do was walk in and be weighted down with scarlet and a gold chain. He did take that, by the way. He gave all the rest away. He'd get a little bit. And he just read something. It's easy. Well, it's easy after you've been through everything you've been through and stayed alive, no matter what the devil's done. It's easy. Define easy for me. Someone said, Pastor, I overheard your phone call. Boy, you're really articulate. You could really help that person. That was really something. I just went, that was 15 years of my life. I just had to live for 5 minutes of that conversation. I'm not complaining, but you know, it costs you a lot to read some effortless writing on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Remember that story of Henry Ford when his whole... all of his machinery broke down, and he had this little guy come in and gave him a bill for $10,000 who fixed it. You know, he said, what, $10,000? He goes, that dollar for knowing, what was it? It was $199,000 for knowing where to tinker, and just $1 for the tinkering. You know, the most important person in your life is the person that has the answer to the question you need answered right now. The most important person in your world at any given moment is the person that has a word from the Lord for you. And they get the dollar for tinkering. But they get the 990 for knowing where to tinker. That's wisdom. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. There's something I feel the Holy Ghost is going to make effortless for you, what seems a deadly weight and an impossibility for others. My yoke is easy, Jesus said. My burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls when you follow me. Don't worry about the banquets of others. Mind your own business. Be faithful where you are. There's just something about God. If more prophets stayed where they belong, they would be summoned when God writes a new thing on the wall. He's writing a new thing on the wall in quarters you've never been in, lives you've never even touched. And all you have to do, like Daniel, is walk in when you're summoned and stand there. Take the gold chain and the scarlet robe. You can have that. And then just read it. You need to know the Lord loves you. He's on your side. He knows what you've been through. He knows what everybody else has received that you didn't. The promotions that it seems that were denied to you. But he's about to bring you forth with an elegance and finesse, and you're like a jewel. It's been polished with diamond dust, shaped and faceted, and it's been an agonizing process. But oh, he's going to put you right on his crown, and he's going to show you off in the midst of all people. He's going to raise you up, and he's going to let you personally know, thank you for being faithful where I put you. Don't ever believe that you're not going to be summoned forth. God will come and get you. He will make it clear that you're to leave where you are and step into the palace, and he will make everything clear that is written before you. Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus that you would call the enemy's works what they are and dissolve them off of the shoulders of your children right now. Lord, we thank you. Do we see the writing on the wall? Yes, we are going to, by the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Yes, we are going to be able to understand riddles. We're going to be able to dismantle difficult truths. We are going to be a people who are going to unify in with tender hearts, tender warriors, but nonetheless an absolute threat to the enemy through our simplicity, our humor, our love for you. our commitment to your word, we are going to become a mighty, tender-hearted warrior army that will devastate the works of darkness. But Lord, help us love one another. Help us cherish one another. Help us, Lord. Help us to be the servants that you've called us to be. Lord, help us. Stay where we are faithfully. We will be called. We will be summoned, and we will read everything that is a riddle to the wicked. Thank you, Lord, for your children. Nature, the book of nature is an open book. We see you everywhere. We see you in the sun and the stars. We see you in the sand and the ground. We see you in everything, the bees and the flowers and the ocean. And Lord, you wrote the Bible, but nature is your book, and it's open to all of your open-hearted children. I bless your people today, Lord. In their childlike simplicity, have walked with you and trusted you, and their eyes are open to see, their ears can hear, their minds can perceive. Let every writing of complexity be brought before your children, Lord, to clearly interpret. Thank you. And some of the writing of the suffering in your life you haven't understood before now. But don't worry, soon you'll be able to read it on the wall effortlessly and say, oh, that's why, that's where, that's how. I see. The complexities of your past have been like a language. It's jumbled that you can't understand. But we're going to invite his presence in right now. We're going to invite his glory in right now. He's about to promote his own. Get a little bit happy today. He's about to right the wrongs. He's about to turn things around. He's about to reward you in ways that you cannot understand. And when he does bless you, do your best to receive it effortlessly in Jesus' name. Stand still in his presence. There his glory dwells. Can we sing one chorus of See the Glory of the Lord? See the glory of the Lord. See the glory of the Lord. Stand still. Stand still. In his presence, see the glory of the Lord. See the glory of the Lord. Stand still, stand still. In his presence, there his glory dwells. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. We bless you. Amen.